Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Crash Course, a Team Focus Monday again, and we've got one more week of the team conversation coming up next week as well. 298 here on deck. Excited to have everybody along for the ride this evening. Got a lot of ground to cover. Sit up straight.
I was just wowing the 298, man. It's coming.
I know. And I don't really know if we're going to do anything other than just have a typical show, but I don't know, still to
we can have a fat bald guy jump out of a cake.
let's not do that.
We're going to offer it.
As great as that might be, I think we're going to pass on that one. Again, 298 here on deck. We're going to be talking first with Rob Ewer and Teddy Papadopoulos after Team Caddy Nation picked up the win in the limited weld side of the bracket. Then we're going to shift gears. We're going to be talking with John Haas. I think I got it this time. John Haas and Jackson Bernstein with Team Heavy D, who won the qualifying bracket out there, and interspersed all through that. We've got the one and only Brett Relier joining us here in studio. Brett ran with Team Smith Little Works to win at the Sin City Showdown with Corey Roman, Chase Smith, and Pete Hansen out there. And if Pete answers the phone, we're going to be calling him later on as well. So it's going to be a very, very busy show through the course of it. But I'm glad you made the trip up. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
How's the trip home from Vegas?
It was long. Well, actually, my trip wasn't bad. I was back on the plane 9 o'clock in the morning, and with a 3-hour difference, I was home at 6 o'clock. So my trip wasn't bad. Driver's Rich Spreadmore's. His was rather longer, about 40 hours.
Wow. Wow, but all the same, you know, the team atmosphere, it's been growing and growing. We've seen it explode here locally. The one that sort of set the stage for all of it, of course, Blizzard Bash. And a couple years ago, they added that team element for the limited welds. And we have now seen two teams continuing to stand as the dominant pair. Two wins so far for Team Azkicker, winning the initial and the 2018 edition. And now Caddy Nation picking up their second win this year in the limited weld side of things. So two teams, four wins combined between the two of them. Rob Ewer and Teddy Papadopoulos with us here. Guys, congratulations on the win. And is it getting easier or is it getting more difficult to keep finding victory lane in Topeka?
I felt like it was a little
easier
this time around, but
man, this is going to be a challenge right here. Step out of the shop or something. The connection was great before the show started. It's hard to imagine that things are getting easier, so to say, in Blizzard Bash, just because the level of competition continues to get higher and higher and higher. But this year certainly wasn't any easier out of the blocks running with a team of three. Trey Hewer joining you, one of the cars not able to get through. Tell me a little bit about where this win falls in terms of the last 3 years of runs that you guys have had out there.
This win's, I think, just huge, just because, as like you said, the trouble that we had from the get-go, being one teammate down, those 3-on-4, and then pulling out in the feature, and there was more cars out there than there ever has been, just with a few more increased teams. And off the line, you know, we were down another team car, and so I think it made it that much more challenging for us just from the get-go.
Right, Trey went down early in the feature. I don't even think he got off the line. Was it a fuel pump problem?
Yes, it was. The wires burned up in a fuel pump. And now the fuel pump, kind of a goofy one that was freak deals. That's why we run them, I guess.
Right, it's why the derbies aren't running paper, I suppose. So I mean, you guys go out there, you go from three cars out of two cars at the get-go, but the strategy that you used when running with Show Me Sliders was some of the best execution of turf warfare that we've seen in Topeka, with you guys able to line up door-to-door, and instead of working from the middle out like you guys have done before, you worked from one end of the track across, and if anybody even dared to get behind enemy lines, you had a couple backers that picked them apart and either chased them out or eliminated the car at that point, and that middle group of four just continued to take over progressively more of the field. And after that, all bets were off.
Yeah, we kind of love it when a plan comes together. So you can lay it out on paper all you want, and when the green flag drops, you know, a lot of things kind of get goofy. But and of course, Chubby Sliders, they work so well with that. And they had a really solid team as well, just as solid as what we had. Things just kind of come up in place.
Teddy, did you have fun battling out with Corey Ludington like that at the finish?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't have wanted it came down any other way, and I don't think it was seeing me, but I was trying to, and I knew that we, at that time, it was, you know, me and Rob and him, so it probably wouldn't have been the best thing anyway, but I was trying to get him just to back up just so we could know them, just us two, but I loved him, man, like that.
You guys all run Show Me Sliders, right?
Yes.
What's that?
You guys all have Show Me Sliders under the car?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you noticed that the price for you three on Show Me Sliders has gone up?
I think it just doubled in price.
Was it as much fun?
It was. It really was. I mean, you talked how, you know, they came out, and that was the first thing I noticed was that Trey didn't move, and that's very, I mean, you know, something major happened. He's always there at the end. And
the thing is, let me interrupt you quick. If he had the wherewithal, because Rob always tells us how rusty his Cadillacs are.
Yeah.
So there's no floor in this thing anyway. If Trey had thought about it, he could have just picked it up in Fred Flintstone.
Yeah,
and
he could have. Trey could have done that. But it was a really fun feature to watch. Teddy and Rob put on a driving show. They really did. They didn't put themselves in any bad spots. There was times, and this is why I talk about it, and they drive it. I was watching both of them going, man, those guys are driving hard. But, I mean, the nose of those caddies were taking it. I mean, you know, obviously these guys, you know, I'd put them up against anybody with the way they build their Cadillacs. But, you know, it got down towards the end, and Rob and Teddy were really just pile-driving guys. They were putting on a really good show. It was definitely fun to watch, with Trey, I mean, it would have been, you know, even better. And who knows, you know, how obviously, you know, probably worked out the same. But very, very neat to watch them run and watch them, you know, run with Show Me Sliders. And, you know, it was a great battle. It really was.
How tough is it?
And I tell you, we had a blast. And that heat was probably the most fun we've ever had out there. Or for myself, that's probably one of the most fun heats I've ever driven. And for the part, all our heats, I don't think we've ever ran a heat out there more than 3 months. And I think that's probably somewhere in there this time.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back, the heats typically are pretty quick for you guys. But, I mean, the limited weld heats are they're so intense anyway.
Yeah.
That if we went back and timed it all out with all those heats over the last 4 years, I bet you wouldn't be up probably more than 16, 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, they're usually pretty quick. But, you know, like I said, it was a great feature. Definitely a lot of cars on the track, you know, and I don't know. You wouldn't think that guys, you know, the statue of these two, you know, they would get, you know, lost in the wash. But, I mean, they did. They did a great job in – you know, there wasn't guys, you know, they weren't getting ganged up on. You know what I mean? Like you would expect. I mean, these guys, you know, have won what, 2 out of 4. You would think that they'd draw more attention, but you know, they ran their race. They were not forced out of their right. race the whole time. They did what they wanted.
And how good is Team Azkicker as well?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys had a little bit of bad luck, and tons of credit to them because they turned around from there and went out to Las Vegas to run
yeah.
from there.
How crazy is that?
That was busy.
Yeah, they that's one of the best teams they've got out there together. As far as team, you know, team drive, they put good cars and they run good together. I mean, they are a solid team.
You know, Rob hit on something that I didn't really think about. The more times we go to Blizzard Bash, I've noticed that the features are getting more and more congested. Not even necessarily because of the number of teams that are out there. They've got a full bracket now, and there was some attrition due to inspection teams not making it, teams loading up, etc. But you're not seeing the fall off.
No.
You're getting everybody back. Even if it's not for the middle round, they're at least getting that car back together for the feature. Yeah. And you know, some of the early years that we went out there, there was some attrition and fall off. So it wasn't atypical to see somebody coming out with a group of two or a group of three or something. That limited well feature was full.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've touched before, and that's a testament to the crews. I mean, these guys, you know, we've touched on it that, you know, all these cars have, you know, two, three people, four people, you know, working on them to help them rebuild them. Because that's what they're doing between rounds. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, they're basically rebuilding a car. And even you know, from the naked eye, you know, from sitting at, you know, home and watching and then being there, if a car looks straight coming off the track, chances are it's not straight. There's a bend or there's a kink or there's something that, you know, they're porta-powering down or jacking and, you know, and fix a plate in, or, you know, putting the fixed plates on it to go on to the next round. So
even if it ain't bent, you know, there's transmission slipping, there's steering boxes going, there's, yeah, you know, even if you can't see with the naked eye, they're out there changing, you know, motors, transmissions, rear ends.
That's the crazy thing, and that's, you know, that's why I've always said that, you know, since we've been involved with Blizzard Bash, is that it's definitely one of those where you got to go and watch what goes on between the heats, because that's the on-track stuff. I mean, that's, you know, that's very impressive. But to see what these guys go through to make it back to the track, you know, it's very impressive.
It's definitely, I mean, you know, these derbies are one on the track, but, you know, like Vegas and like you guys are talking about Blizzard Bash are definitely one in the pits too. You know, like you said, we could take a fair show car and home and work on it in the shop for 2 weeks, and, you know, we got the time and, you know, mess around with it. But when you're congested on time, it's really the, you know, we all bring good picture guys with us, and them guys staying up with us, whether it's all night or working all day and just, you know, busting butt on it to get it back on the track. They're one just as much in the pits as they are on the track on these types of settings.
Absolutely.
100%.
How much did you guys have to do? I mean, we joke about how fast the heat was, and, you know, you guys were only out there for 3 minutes and stuff like that. At the same time, you know, you still had to do work out there. How much did you guys have to do this year compared to years past? As this bracket gets deeper and deeper and there's more talent in it, you guys are going to have to put in more time between rounds. It's just a matter of fact. How much did you guys have to do?
Really, I guess we're talking at the same time. Really, me and Ted, we tore stuff up more than what we did this time, and it's kind of goofy. Really, we didn't. And like, that was really about it. Put a little fuel in them. I mean, I burnt more fuel going to me.
Rob is calling us on location from the lost city of Atlantis.
Yeah, the phone is definitely in.
But so how many? So I guess you didn't have to call in as many folks out of the cheering section to come work on the cars then, I guess, Teddy.
Sorry.
You didn't have to call as many people in from the cheering section off to our right to help finish the cars off.
Not too many.
That cheering section was raucous this year.
When aren't they? So Teddy, I mean, did you just feel like you were in your normal, you know, Topeka groove, or did you feel like you were driving a little harder this year?
No, I think, in my opinion, I think I just probably the best I've ever drove. I think I played it just exactly how it needed to be played. You know, made every move that I needed to make right, and I really feel this is probably the probably the best I've ever driven in my life. Honestly, I mean, I just really felt I was in the zone, and like I said, just did everything right. And I mean, I guess it shows because we were there. Me and Rob Bolter were there at the end, and a lot of time I think I just drive. I overdrive the car. I do that a lot, and can't seem to just keep my mind clear enough to pay attention to what I'm doing. But this time I really felt, you know, I thought about everything from hit to hit, where to go next, what to do next, and I just felt that was my A game.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to watch you guys out there a bunch, and you were definitely, I mean, you were making, you know, you were driving as hard as ever, but you were definitely, it just seemed like the hits were all falling the right way for you. You weren't, You know, sometimes you line up a hit and somebody moves and it doesn't come out the way you want it. But, I mean, you were really, you know, surgical with the shots this year. You know, you guys were I mean, like I said, the feature went pretty much, I would think, is you know, you couldn't have planned it any better. I mean, you guys just went out there and just really drove. It was very impressive.
So what I'm wondering, Teddy, is how do you keep your head in that? I mean, you recognize that you overdrive the car periodically. They've given you some really good money because you do at different times in Topeka. But, like, so what changed? Was it were you trying to be more composed? Or did you never get hit with that haymaker shot that makes the eyes roll back into the head and you become a great white shark? What's the difference this time versus the others?
Yeah, I mean, I really kept my composure a lot. And it's everywhere you go. You put any good driver on the track, and you let them pick their shots, and people don't, you know, two, three, four guys don't jump on them. I think 9 out of 10 times, unless they have a mechanical failure, they're going to be there at the end. And this is just one of them where, you know, we kind of, you know, drew our imaginary line on the track, and I had it set, and me and Trey joked about it the whole time beforehand, which he ended up breaking off early, but I told him I was going to chain my doorpost to his doorpost, and we were going to stay right there next to each other. And unfortunately, he broke off, but like I said, we drew that imaginary line, and for the longest time, I kept my composure, and I, like you said, any car that came across that line, that's who I was focusing on one at a time, and we were just going to work them down to the end, and it just all worked out, and I never really got, you know, stroke real hard, and that's usually, you know, I usually have a fairly decent eye on the track, but somebody comes and I pull up and they blast me in the passenger door, and you know, then I get it in my mind, that's the guy I'm gonna kill, that's the car, he's done, I'm gonna back out the gate, one shot, and I just was able to just keep it calm this time.
You know, it's great to hear somebody of Teddy's level say that, though, because that's how we all feel. I mean, I know that's how I am. I mean, you know, somebody hits me in the driver's door or, you know, hits me the wrong way, it turns right into, okay, we're going wide open. So it's great to hear Teddy, you know, a guy of that level say
the same thing. But I don't know, why do you hit in the driver's doors anyway at some place like Blizzard Bash? You just hurt the nose of your car because the beams are this tall anyway. You've done tons of derbies, Brett, up here and all over the Northeast, you know, mid-Atlantic going as far south as Florida and now as far west as Las Vegas. How long did it take for you to get to a point where you didn't have I don't know, where you just started handing bad news out to everybody?
I mean, the early years derbying, it was all about, you know, seeing how hard you could hit somebody. I mean, they were the earlier years. Once you got the taste of a win and a little bit of money in your pocket where you could go around the next one, you either got to build the car where it can withstand it, or you got to pick and choose what you're gonna waste your car on. I mean, you only got so much ammunition, sure. You know. And so, if you want to win, you got to play the card smart. So there's been times years ago that when money was extremely tight. I'm not saying it's much better now, but I literally would go to a derby and say, "This is my job. Like, right. I'm going out to work, and I'm not worried about the stands." And you know, unfortunately, not many people like the way you run. And then there's times you gotta donate a car. Sure. When there's somebody out to be a hero to take you out, I mean, you gotta run it and junk it and try to give a point, you know.
A driver told me one time that if you have a 60-second shot clock and you make one hit every 60 seconds and everybody else out there making three or four, you'll have more car left than them.
Smart. In theory.
Does that sound familiar?
In theory. I mean, it's kind of whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's the old age or what it is, but I've grown to keep my patience or composure a lot better over the years. Sure. And, you know, I guess I don't know if it comes with time or desire to win or not confident in your equipment. I don't know what the...
I will say, though, that he still gets us... You can still tell him when he gets bad, he gets this funny look in his eye and...
Right.
Gets up taller on the wheel and just starts up and down the track and I hear his speed. He's still got it in him. It takes a little more.
Yeah, that happened once this year. I it was rather amusing. Brian, we happened to be in the heat together and I went down past him and he's got almost his whole body out the car waving, like, faster, like, you know what I mean? It was rather amusing.
It was fun.
Do you guys feel like you've gotten better with age as well? Does a degree of maturity come inside the car and help you keep the composure so you don't, in Brett's words, donate a car?
I think so. You know, sometimes we'll just do it for the show. It's not even about the money. Sometimes, you know, you want to win, you want to make a little money, but sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm a junkie just for the show. So, right. But yeah, as far as you can put himself, and my tip was saying earlier, if somebody else is out there attacking you, it's a lot easier to run your race whenever you're about making the shots instead of like somebody putting it on you. So, guns composure. A lot was probably, that's probably one of the best races I ran to. When Trey went out, he kind of got out of his car and came to my window. First thing he said, before he walked off the track, he said, "Dad, keep the wheels on the car." Every move, I thought, man, that's going to, I'm going to be on the Rob just because I'm going to lay back. So I took less shots than what I wanted to just because I wanted to keep my front wheels from being vulnerable. So I was, sure. I was pretty, I was on point, I would say.
You know, Teddy, I think you'd be inclined to agree with this. The way that feature played out, it wasn't about quantity, it was about quality. The better shots placed, absolutely. the cars were there for you at the end.
Absolutely. That's what I focused on. I'll back out the gate and just nose to nose with anybody, any chance I get. But this time it was a lot more of, there's a wheel, take the wheel shot. Don't go frame rail to frame rail. That's a lot harder on your car. Mm-hmm. Hit that corner, hit that wheel and not just nose to nose.
You know, Brett touched on, and then Rob followed up, the getting better with age. And that's one thing, you know, even though he didn't have the run he hoped in the feature, the one thing that has really impressed me with Trey is how much control he has in his car. I mean, you know, because Trey is a big young man. He's, you know, 3-4 inches taller than me. We thought he was older than he was the first time we met him. Yep. You know, at 16, he probably passed for 20. Just a big young man. But he, the car control and his ability to stay within himself and not get himself in bad spots and not take bad shots. He continues at this pace and he's going to be as good as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean that with everything, he's going to be that good if he continues on, because he's just, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't take bad shots. You know, he doesn't get mad. At least at the shows we do, which are, you know, the two of the biggest shows there are. So maybe at the county fair, he, you know, has made some mistakes and done some. But I mean, I've been very, very impressed with Trey every time you've seen him run.
I think it's just important to be defensively in a derby as offense. When you make a shot, you gotta kind of know what's coming up behind it, or what the consequences are of doing it. Rather, you go in a zone, you know, like he was saying, you know, you go down to his end by yourself, that might not be so good.
Yeah.
So you kind of, as a driver, knowing what your consequences and where you are and what position you're in, and is just as important as taking the aggressive shot.
Now, we've touched on it before, and Chris kind of, we've seen you run a lot of features and win a lot of shows. And at what point in Vegas did you think you guys had a good shot as a team?
Well, I knew the team was good. I mean, I didn't know Corey real well, and I didn't know Chance. I met him one other time. Pete Hansen, you know, I've known him a long time, and I'll go to war with him no matter where it is, how it is. I trust him 1,000%. And I trust the whole team, per se. Mm-hmm. When I thought that we had a chance is when Pete went by me about 40. And I was still running, and I wasn't hung up, and the aces, I mean, they're hands down absolutely awesome. But the last about a minute and a half is when I thought we had a chance of winning that. I thought maybe once we got, you know, because we had to go through the B main to get in the feature. Mm-hmm. And once we made the feature, I'm like, man, you know, top four, there's only what, I don't know how many cars were out there, 26 or something. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we get in the top five. We all had four teammates. And then, you know, one of our teammates got out, and then another one got out, and now I'm all crippled up, no steering, and I'm like, oh, we're in trouble. And we just kept, you know, luck was on our side.
Definitely. Definitely plays a big role in it.
Well, guys, we look forward to
We don't underplay the luck. We always say it's better to be lucky than good. So
absolutely.
can't argue with that. Guys, we appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us. Anybody that you want to make mention of? We talked about the team and what the effort went in the pits. Anybody that you want to make mention of?
I think we both got our pit guys. I got Ural and Justin Fainter, and even Corey helped me out. The biggest thanks probably to my wife and, Rob's wife and everything for all the support and everything they do for us in between times. Into the track and everything.
Awesome.
Like Will White, he helps me some. Randy Calvert, he comes by, and there's quite a few guys that kind of stop in here and there. But Trey's my guy. He keeps us where we are. He keeps me motivated, and my wife, she's the real MVP for putting up with all this crap and then organizing it and trying to see the shirt deal through and all that stuff. So I'm probably one of the luckiest guys in the world. I truly believe that.
Well, guys, we appreciate you making some time for us tonight. Teddy, man, go enjoy your movie. What are you going to go see tonight?
We're watching Frozen 2 tonight.
Man,
that's a good dad right there.
127 mil at the open. That's what you want to go see. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not bad.
Guys, congratulations again. We look forward to catching up with you when we're back out in Topeka this March.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys. We'll see you now.
Bye-bye.
There goes Team Caddy Nation coming up with another win, their second win in the limited well bracket. We're going to shift gears now and bring on John Hass and Jackson Bernstein to talk a little bit about their run on the qualifying side. And the big deal for those guys was picking up that win in punching their ticket into the national bracket. Such a big deal. And we heard in the pits also they're being joined in the national bracket next year by Team Busch Light, Cheesy's crew, and Craig Birkenpass, those guys who've added Mike Worth to their team. A lot of guys kind of saying really didn't want to see them get back in the national bracket because they're going to be tough. They always are. So really cool at this point. We're going to be getting Jackson. We've got to get everybody put together here. So, feel free to talk about this yourselves. Did we get Jackson?
Yeah, Ryan, I got to tell you, it was an honor to be welcomed or to be asked to be on the team. Corey was a team captain. I don't know what the circumstances is, okay. But one of the teammates dropped out, and then he asked me. I guess Pete asked me, and I was like, I don't know. I got to have a couple of days to think about this because I don't want to let the team down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you got 12, 13, 14 days to build. And I just didn't, I was nervous, but it was really nice.
Once you get on track, though, I mean, was it just driving in another derby?
It was. I mean, it really was. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that Utah or that circle start. I wasn't a fan of that. That's the second. They just did it. I ran Chaos in the Valley there earlier in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they started like that, and I'm like, I don't know where it's coming out. You step on the gas, you hit the brakes, I'm unfamiliar with it.
And we'll break it down, little parts and pieces of Vegas. We're going to get more in-depth on that this week and next. Next week we're going to be talking, hopefully we'll be able to track down Sean McCollum as we get ready for Winter Warzone, which is going to come to you live on DerbyNation.tv. Brett Riley in studio, giving us some tidbits on the Team Smith Metalworks win over there at the Sin City Showdown. He was teamed up with Pete Hansen, Chance Smith, and Corey Roman out there. We're going to be getting in depth with them here in just a minute when we get Pete Hansen on the line next week. We're hoping to bring on Sam Bando with his team. In the interim, winning the qualifying bracket, Jackson Bernstein and John Haas. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Glad we got you guys on the line. The effort that it took to pull that win down for Heavy D. It's hard to overlook that. Matching wits with Mike Wirth is no easy task in any way. And you guys were already, both of you were already in, so at this point it was bragging rights. How rough was that feature?
Oh.
How rough was the feature? Guys? Anybody?
Yeah, it was definitely hard hitting heat. I mean, the pace is a lot faster than I expected it was going to start out to be. For sure.
That's just because you like sandbagging.
Great answer. Yeah, usually stuff starts out a little slow out there, and then somebody throws the big haymaker, and then it's on. But this year it started out pretty quick.
Were you guys surprised by that? Because it did start very fast. It started fast and aggressive, and it was almost like there was intent to get the thing over early. There was that degree of urgency because you want to get as many of those teams out of the way as fast as you can. Did you guys sense that pace change at all out there?
Yeah, usually we got pretty fast pace. Not quite that fast, but usually, like, I don't know, they usually start out a little bit slower and everybody kind of figures out what they're going to do and the pecking order and gets in line with where they want to be, and then it kind of lets loose. But there, it just, when they said go, it was on. Like,
right.
It didn't matter.
I remember multiple times through the course of the weekend where you could see that moment that the switch got flipped. And just, you could see that all of a sudden things picked up, and this one, the switch flip was the initial green flag. Yeah. It was very aggressive.
They definitely, you know, they said go, and they got after it right now.
But you guys still, like we were talking before with Caddy Nation, you guys saw just about everybody getting back out there that was supposed to be there. The cars that were out there were all put together the right way. Team MHM came out, and they probably had the freshest cars out there all the same, being able to run to the point where, you know, you kind of thought maybe that they would go in as the favorites, but the cars didn't fall that way. Take me through that feature, and kind of like Brian was asking Brett just a minute ago, was there any point where you looked around and said, hey, you know what, we got a really good chance of winning this thing?
John. I think it was anybody's show right up till the end. It could have went either way. Team Bud Light was just hard cars, not backing down, not giving up an inch, you know, and it just kind of came down to kind of luck almost in the end, you know, that we were able to, I guess, kind of pin him for the win, you know, versus just, I don't think that 98 that was on a Corey ran, that was pretty used up by the end, and Mike's car was pretty fresh looking on Bud Lights, you know, the front end looked straight as an arrow yet, but it just, luck was in our favor, I think.
Jackson, do you find it to be better to be lucky than good?
Oh, usually. If luck ever falls my way, but glad John's got some anyways. So,
you and your brother had some real nice cars. Where did those come from?
Dustin Anderson actually helped us with a lot of them. And then Mike and Tori helped finish up Dustin's wagon a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Dustin actually, we finished my car on the way down. We picked it up and we helped Dustin finish it up and load it on Tuesday night. The way down,
you know, that's got to be some of the best equipment you and your brother have had in terms of going on the road and having the opportunity to travel and run.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So you know you've got a piece like that underneath you. You've got a talented driver like John Hass in your corner. Where was your confidence level going into this one? I mean, I know that the Derby answer is that we go don't go on the track unless you think you're going to win, all that other stuff. But you know, realistically, from your perspective, where was your confidence level?
I mean, it was pretty high. We knew we had some good cars, but we know the competition's real good down there every year. I mean, there's not a slouch team you want to draw, you know.
Right.
But we felt our cars were put together good and right. We felt like we had a chance.
And then we
going down, we thought Bad Company was going to be in our heat or in the qualifying with us too.
Right.
And then we know Mike and Tori pretty well.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one. Mike, a past Mad Dog winner at Capital City Carnage. I believe he got Mad Dog in the first one. That was the one that Ryan Songaluski won. Mm-hmm. And he brought every last bit of that hammer when those guys got called up. I think he ended up flipping himself.
Yeah.
Got himself turned over.
Yeah.
in the national bracket. And again, we've talked about Bad Company so many times, and I'm not in any way ragging on those guys. If anybody's going to misinterpret my words here, I apologize now. They just need a little bit of positive luck, and they're going to be right there in the end. They got to the finals in 2014, and things have been a real roller coaster for that team. But at just one time, I would love to see them get the brakes to fall their way, because, man, what a feature that would be. If they could get that group of cars out there in that main event, it would be fun to watch.
Even though they're having the bad luck, is what you call it. I mean, they're still a quality. Anybody there is hands down. I mean, you know, somebody has to have the bad luck of the best, and you take the bad luck of the Blizzard Bash, they can dominate. You know, any county fair, anything. You know,
definitely.
And yeah, we've seen them have heats where they dominated the heats on track. You know, they're just that one, just a little bit.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about moving up to the national bracket next year?
Intimidating. Well,
I don't believe that, because I saw you guys on track this year. I don't think that's true, but good answer.
When we took Team America out there, not last year, year before that, I think it was, and or 2 years ago, but they won the qualifying.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
And it was so it was as proud to win the qualifying as to win anything. It was such an accomplishment, and the excitement of going back home, you know, them winning the qualifying for the next year, the adrenaline. I mean, I can't imagine how they feel.
We're inching closer and closer to, at this point, I think we've gone over now, over half the teams that are in the national bracket have come out of the qualifying side, starting with JYD with their win several years ago, and then Minnesota Style, which is now Calisoda Style, Team America, the Crazy Iowans, GWC.
WRP?
I almost think that they did. I think they were. I don't want to misspeak, but I think that they were in that mix too. And that got them back. But I can't. Yeah. I can't remember for certain. And they've had some different lineups back then. But now they've got a real solid lineup, and they're in. You know, they're in the national bracket now. We're eventually going to see one of those qualifying teams win this. Because they've been knocking on the door, and you know the Johnson Wrecking Crew comes to mind. Calisoda Style, Calisoda Style had their best run this year. I think they ended up fourth in the main event. So, like Brett was saying, there's definitely a degree of prestige to win that qualifying bracket and win your way in, and to do that, because every year we lose two from that national bracket, that qualifying bracket is no different in terms of the driver caliber of what you're going to see in the national side, at least in my opinion. You guys might think it's different.
I don't know. I feel like the national side of it, I think it's one more step up from the qualifying. I mean, them guys, I've watched a lot of these teams just battle it out every year, and you know, I sit there and I watch them, and like sometimes you'll watch a team, they'll be out there, three of them just working over the other guys hard, and one kind of like playing hiding in plain sight, you know, like he's over there waiting, and all of a sudden them three are used up and he comes over and jumps in and wins it, and I'm just sitting there like, where did he come from, you know, like these guys are so good. And I don't know, I feel like it's a whole nother caliber, you know, like really stepping up. It's kind of like walking into a room and knowing you're not the richest man in that room. That's kind of what I feel like is happening on this end.
Well, you picked
the build quality is different. It just seems like it's just another step up too. The build quality, the national from qualifying, I mean, it's the same rules, but just the minds of people.
Well, you picked
the same rules, but it's not the same rules as I got, because them guys are really crafty on their building.
Yeah, you might want to work the phone a little bit on that one. But I suppose you picked the right year to move into the national bracket, because when you think about the teams that have been knocked out of the national draw this year and this year alone, first, Derby Nation, the defending champions, get knocked out because of any – you guys do your research on that one. Jason Brzezinski, Ryan Songalewski, Gage Sumner, Cordell Hansen. There, if they come back, they're in the qualifying bracket. TeamDerbyTees.com, 2014 winners. Lance Pritchett and his crew always build awesome cars. They're down on that side. And then Bad Company, who took that spot, they unfortunately were the first ones out of that first round of action that second round of action on the second night, the first preliminary, I guess that'd be the C main if you're from an oval track background. So those guys got out there in the qualifying bracket again. So that's three really gnarly teams with some wins under their belt going into that qualifying bracket. That's going to make that landscape a little more challenging.
If you're a gambling man out of them three teams, you think any of them will come back and try to qualify?
I would hope. I would hope, but we've seen some of that.
It seems so. It takes such a wind out of your sails. By no means not saying anything bad, but when you're on, let's say the level, and I don't want to talk bad or sound negative for a qualifying level or a national level, but when you go from being in the national to have to go back and re-qualify, so hypothetically, say one of the teams say, all right, we're going to go back next year and qualify. They're not even eligible until, 2021 to be in the national if they win it.
They got to be.
So now they got to deal with the competition. You know,
right.
I mean, yeah, they might be able to read into the rules, or they might be, you know, a builder, but you get a little bit of bad luck on your side or whatever. It's still a tall order to fulfill.
Absolutely.
I think.
There's nothing easy in Kansas, that's for sure. Nothing easy at Topeka. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the class is, you're earning that W. We've said it before on air. I mean, every heat is a feature. Mm-hmm. Every heat that's out there, you know, Brett just touched on it. You know, these guys that are running have all dominate where they're from, or, you know, are right there with, you know, two or three guys dominating. So, I mean, there's no easy draws. There's no easy ways in. It's you earn everything you get out there.
Yep. That's for sure. You know, you guys, you talked about it being intimidating. You know, do you have any other thoughts on making it to that national bracket? The way that we sort of kicked around some different ideas, and you know, that qualifying win's got to be.
I'm curious if they would still stick with the same brand of cars, or if they would, you know, what they're you know.
You gonna keep the program the same for next year?
We've been a little talking already. We might move around a little bit. We're definitely going to have an 03 down there. I may not be behind the wheel of it. I'm not really sure yet. Definitely going to be some old iron GMs down there, I'm sure. It seems like they just, I don't know, that show was made for them almost. You know, I really wish they'd let us have more than 103. That would make my choices a little easier. But
I was talking to Casey Smith about that, and he said just the pure weight of an 03 or whatever stinks, you know, just because your body, sure, you know, the abuse versus, you know, you get a, you know, GM wagon or something that you can get more weight in. He wasn't really excited about the whooping your body would take.
Jackson was part of that wagon parade that we saw down there. I was really surprised the number of wagons that we saw. I figured it'd be more sedans, but we just keep finding more and more wagons, and they keep showing up.
If the prices keep going up, they keep paying them.
Well, yeah, that is true.
How many Chevy wagons you got in your stash? GM?
One left. That's all that's left.
Really?
Yep, that's all that's left.
Wow. That's way more than that.
I mean, John, you said that you wanted to have that second 03, but what about the weight that you're giving up? Is there a plus side on mobility because you're smaller and lighter?
Well, the weight thing is, it's getting there. I'm getting closer. The first year I came down to Blizzard Bash, I ran with Bob Myers and them guys on their team. Yeah. I filled in for, I don't know if it was Rhett or the other one that come up short on getting their car done. So when I showed up there to run on the national team, Bob's over there, you know, he's talking me up. Oh, you got this, you know, you're good, you know, on and on. And I started looking around at everybody's cages, and I'm rocking a 2x6 door bars with a 3x3 crossbar, and I look over at Reps and it's like a 2x20, and I'm like, I'm gonna be killed. Like, I'm 3,000-4,000 pounds lighter than everybody out here. I was like, this is gonna hurt. And yeah, I think Chris or Mitch Carlson, I think he put me to sleep for a little bit out there in their heat. But we're coming around. We're getting, the cages are getting a little bigger. We're getting a little more creative. I don't feel like, we definitely don't have the weight of a wagon in an 03, but right. I think we'll get there yet.
How what are the looks that you get when you walk into the steel shop and say, I need a 18-foot piece of 2x20?
Well, it's really not that bad, because my
my metal shop down here at Pete's Tractor Salvage is pretty reasonable usually when I get metal.
Yeah.
We just cut up old farm equipment is all I got. There ain't much for new metal in my cars. I'm way too cheap for that for the most part.
That's terrific.
Relatable. I can understand that. Save money where you can, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I got a John Deere plow for the back bar, and yeah, I got just about everything in there, but I don't know. I couldn't imagine what some of these guys spend on this metal. Like, you know, you go in there and you see they're like, oh, it's a 6x6x1/2 inch. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't even want to know what that costs. That was more than my whole iron bill. I'm sure of it.
That's one of the things that I always enjoy seeing is I love being in the inspection lines and just looking at the cages inside these cars. Because it is, I mean, we've been there 5 years, 6 years, to see. You know, when we started, a few of them had cages like that. Now everybody's got a cage like that.
With a skin.
And then you look at Chivers. I would have paid to see the inside of Chivers' wagon this year. I think you and I had talked before about what would happen if he built a wagon, and it happened this year.
Did he ever.
I would have loved to see the inside of that car.
When that lift grunted trying to pick him up.
Yeah, awesome. If anybody has pictures,
get it really. I heard that, but I didn't know if it was a rumor.
I couldn't get him up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 6 inches, maybe a foot off the ground. Guys were laying underneath it. They got like one click, and it was underneath. Yeah. He was... But I mean, the first year he came out with Team Calistoga, he had a sedan, and by the end of the
Riviera, right?
Yes, but if you remember, by the end of the feature, there was the door skins and the doors were the farthest metal behind. The only thing behind that was the rear tires and the rear end, but they couldn't bend the door skins on his car. In that feature, the first year he was out there.
I think my door skins are still out in Vegas.
Yeah, you left them out there. You got tore up pretty good.
I didn't want to spend the money on them. I'm along that lines. I want to, you know, I got like a, you know, 3x3 rear seat bar, and I did splurge a little bit. I got 2x6 door bar. I went on the wild side. I got a whole 6-inch, and. You know, you walk by some cars and you're like, just shake your head.
Like P. Hansen's, for instance?
Oh, my God. Or yeah, it's crazy. Here I'm cutting them back out, trying to take the backhoe and try to straighten them out, put them back in another car or something.
Works, John, why change?
John, you went to Vegas as well, right?
What's that?
John, did you go run in Vegas as well?
Nope, I was asked to be on the team, and I thought it was a really good idea, and then I really thought about it a little bit more, and I get pretty antsy at the 12 hours it takes to get to Topeka. I wasn't sure how I was going to get back driving 23 hours, so I kind of decided against that.
I see. What are you guys doing here? Are we going to see you back in Topeka coming up in March?
Jackson here, he keeps trying to talk me into coming down there. He even messaged me today again about another spot open yet, I guess, but... I should just bring this car down there and run it in that mod show just to kind of get rid of it, because there's nowhere up here really that we can run it. The Bakken over here, they're kind of talking about maybe getting us a spot for them, but kind of nothing like running against all of your buddies. I'm sure that'll be there, so it'll be right. Mike and Tori, I'm sure, will have a car, and Bernstein's, and oh well.
I think, I'm trying to remember, right. I think we saw Tori Hyde run with... Kurt Zacharias on a team with the Thunderbirds at the Wadena Grand Slam. This might have been back in 2014. And that opening round match was them against Bando.
Did you see that the Zachariases were in Vegas?
No. Really?
Yeah. I was going to tell you last week.
I haven't talked to them in forever.
Yeah. They were – the last time I saw them run was the year they did the – they won Winter's Slam, and then they took the Thunderbirds to the team show you guys were at with Dina. Yeah. And then I think they took a bunch of time off.
On that team. Yeah. Yeah, those guys were so good to watch.
Oh, CJ, my goodness.
Yeah, they were very good.
Yeah, now that you brought them up, they were in Vegas. I don't think they're in the same bracket as you. I think they were
in the
other
Thunderbirds?
Bracket. Probably.
Because there was a couple Thunderbirds there that I was watching. I was actually thinking of you guys – because back then, you know, you were bragging about these Thunderbirds, and I scratched my head. So then I started looking for them a little bit, but I was surprised. You know, like, don't get me wrong, the fronts were junk. They had the front bumpers around the carburetor.
Yeah.
Not junk as in a quality, junk as in I junked them.
Yeah.
What were you saying? I missed you.
I said I think Zacharias is around on Shane Duke's team, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Whoa, that's a good team.
Yeah, I think it was Shay, and it was Dookie, and it was the Zacharias's.
Wow, nice. Yeah. Yep. Very cool.
Sometime I'm going to sit down and watch some more of that. So far, all I've had a chance to watch is Brett's features. So, but
you guys, anybody that you want to make mention of?
What's that?
Anybody that you want to make mention of back home to help take care of you?
God, I always thank my wife for letting me do this sport, I guess. I don't know, it takes a lot away from her and the kids, I guess. Got to thank them. Got to throw a big shout out to Ryan with Heavy D there, hooking us up with some transmissions that really worked great. Never had a problem with them. Sounds like he's going to do the same thing again next year. We're going to be down the rep representing his name again. I don't know. What about you, Bernstein? Oh, the pit guys. You got to think.
Pit guys.
Yep.
Pit guys are definitely as important as anything.
Mm-hmm. Your pit guys had to do some work. Jackson.
What's that?
Your pit guys had to do some work. Anybody else?
Yeah, they had some work to do. I appreciate them for coming down and taking time off of work and helping. And I thank my brother Jacob, too. He stayed home and keep the farm going for me.
Perfect. Well, guys, I appreciate
it.
Appreciate you guys coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. Congratulations on that win. We look forward to catching up with you in March.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Thank you, Brett.
See ya.
So what's the next big show?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Today I was looking at the internet a little bit, and there's a small derby down in Jersey coming up next weekend. I don't know.
Isn't that one you went down there last year and they made you mad? Is that a different one?
What do you classify as mad? No, it's may wander into that. I don't know. I think maybe I want to stay away from the smaller shows and, you know, hit one or two bigger shows and, you know, see where your luck will carry you.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's definitely. Now, what would you think about going out and running Topeka? Would you?
I think they're crazy. just like Phil Schnau or Baldy, Brian Brankton, of them guys. I mean, absolutely have the hats off, respect to them. You know, I never thought that I could handle quality driving, building, money. But these guys around, you know. We've derbied around here, and don't get me wrong, Phil's run me over, but I can hold with him. And
well, you and Pete have had some battles.
We battled.
Hey, Pete, can I put you in? All right. Real quick before we get Pete in. We do need to take care of this. Whoops, didn't want to do that. March 6th and 7th next year, we've been talking about it a little bit here through the course of the show. 2020 Capital City Carnage is on deck. 10,000 win for the Limited Wells. It's a $2,500 Mad Dog Award with a 50-car limit. Two-man extreme classes paying 10,000 to win. $2,500 Mad Dog Award there, 50-car limit. New this year was added the front-wheel drive Hobo Stock and the Weld Street Stock. Those are both going to be $2,500 to win events. Also on the card, the Weld Compacts and the Modifieds. 25-car limit for all four of those. $2,500 to win for each, and then they're paying back the top four online, CapitalCityCarnage.com. So, getting back to what we were working on here a minute ago, we were talking with Brett, we were talking with Pete about their run out there at the Sin City Showdown, and it paid some dividends. Pete coming away with the win, and Brett, you know, you guys have locked horns plenty of times out here, and you know, we always talk about how important team chemistry is and being able to know your teammate and know the way that they're thinking. Pete is a very calculating driver. You guys have seen each other a ton. Pretty good choice in a partner right there.
Well, I didn't choose Pete. Pete chose me. So well, so I feel I don't want it to sound where you know I'm the team captain or something like that. You know, it was absolutely. It was. I mean, his nickname is Cactus Pete. He likes getting stuck in the sand, but. But all honesty, I mean, you know, it absolutely makes a difference when you know or you have a feeling where your teammate's going to be. I mean, I tell you, I felt privileged, and he, Pete, Corey, I mean, it's absolutely, it's a privilege to know, have confidence. It's like Mark Benjamin, okay? If I'm on the track with Mark, unless he leaves me out to hang to dry. He's done that before, Army, because he wanted to win.
Yeah, but you broke his rear end to get back at him.
Yeah, that thing kind of looks like a banana. He texted me today, not very impressed. But it does. A chemistry in your driving, I mean, it absolutely helps. I always said that two-man extreme, somebody like, you know, if I could get in a car with Peter or somebody, you know, Mark or whatever, that literally... If I'm sitting on the track watching, there's certain drivers that I know where they're going to go and what avenue they're going to go while they're doing it or before they do it, and it's kind of neat. It really is.
You and Mark would be fist fighting before you won the extreme class.
Would be the first time that
happened. I know.
It depends. It depends if I got the gas pedal or the steering wheel, probably.
Pete, you know, teaming up with Corey Roman, who's another driver that you've locked horns with, especially when you guys were all running in and around the Keystone National stuff, running that Reckless Warriors Tour. Chance Smith, Casey Smith's boy, we saw him running on that tour as well. You've got a couple of wins at the Keystone Nationals. You've got wins at Spring Explosion and made the feature at Blizzard Bash, running the Riviera on three wheels, and now you've gone all the way out to Las Vegas, and you picked up the win out there with a good group of drivers. Where does this win fall?
Be honest with you, I think it's one of my best ever. I mean, I've had a monkey on my back for 3 years here, and I can't win to save my ass, and it's like this little perk right here, I think what made it the best is, I mean... the caliber of drivers I came down to. It's always been a dream to be on the track with that caliber. James Prochaska and Ty Richards and Dave Meyer. I mean, Don wasn't there, but even if Don was there, I mean, it'd be an honor to be on the track with all four of them guys at any given time. And to be able to capitalize and beat them was better than anything I've done yet by far, I think. And it's really... you know, gave me a sense of accomplishment, you know, that I haven't had in a long time. And, I mean, and our crew, just our team, our pit crew, I mean, everything we had was top of the line. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better group of guys. I mean, drivers, builders. I mean, Brett's a little lax on his build, and I tell him that all the time. But he tells me it's going to change, but we'll see how that works. Sometimes I don't believe him. He tells bullshit stories.
I think, you know, we went through a rear end, went through a transmission, we went through, I think, what, Pete, two steering boxes.
And, two steering boxes.
And they're, you know, of course, Vegas is gorgeous, but you're, you know, out in the middle of a parking lot, changing transmissions, changing... I believe LMR went through four or five transmissions.
I was just going to say, that list that you just list off, the stuff you had to replace, you got off easy for a team show.
Wow. Well, I went through two radiators and a fan is what I went through, but...
And you finally got a car you can't put the headlights back into. It's a good trade.
You know what was overwhelming that really, just as well as the win, is the raw emotions. When I got out of the car and, you know, I went up to shake everybody's hand or whatever, and Pete was literally in tears.
Oh, yeah, Pete, I was just going to touch on that.
It gave you the chills of the raw emotion of the excitement or the... whatever language you want to use.
The passion for the sport.
The passion. It was really overwhelming.
Well, I mean, remember when we went to Razorback Rumble and we saw James Prochaska in that run, and Don Santella ended up winning the Derby, but the rear end was kicking back and forth out from underneath Ty's car, and it was just incredible. So, you know, just to isolate those two, just for the ones that you guys had mentioned, not to mention the litany of other drivers that you're out there against, were you guys overlooked coming from New York, you know, guys that run out here because you don't have the names on that national scale?
I promise you, I was. I think they felt sorry for our team.
Why? Because you had to deal with Pete?
No, because I was on it.
I really don't think we were overlooked, because if you really look, and the goofed up part is, you know, people walking by and looking at all the cars and walking by and maybe not knowing who a lot of us were, or maybe knowing who I was, but not really paying attention and going up and down the lanes. And they looked more at Brett's car than they did anybody's car. And I said, boy, if they had any bit of an inkling of idea, you know, of the better built cars, they wouldn't be looking at his, you know, because I pick on him all the time. And, you know, it's, we definitely had what we needed. To get us where we ended up, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I was fortunate. I had the most flawless car that I've ever built for any kind of breakage, any kind of anything. I ended up having to loosen up a little suspension, change a set of rear tires, not because they were bad, just because of choice. And I had to change one spindle that was bent a little bit. Didn't have to. And the only time I opened the hood is when I changed the air cleaner after the first run. After that, I never opened the hood until
we were supposed
I got
to,
her home and cut her apart.
We were supposed to leave Friday morning. Wednesday, he's changing the transmission in his car. And you know how the pressurized car, you know, to get everything right. You know, if you're at the track, you might cut some corners to get back out on the track. But Wednesday, he's changing the transmission. And I'm like, oh, boy. Of course, the week before that, I don't remember the exact day. I almost think it was a Thursday night, you know, 7 days before I left. My transmission's no good.
And I'm sure I talked to him. He was at the bar when I texted him.
Oh, I was hot. And I'm like, I ain't even going. And Pete says, come down there. I was down to Pete's house at, you know, he's 2 hours from me, hour and 45 minutes. And I was down there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And him and Logan May was a great help, which, you know, you got Davey Chapman and Mike DeFrisch, everybody was helping. Sure. But you got, we were down there, and Pete gave me one of his transmissions and gave me his brace and gave me, you know, all this. I had Travis Seward's bell, and I had all kinds of borrowed parts on it. But anyway, short story, it was 7 days before that. I was putting the training in, and then, you know, Wednesday before we're going, you know, he's down there putting a trainee in. And
what's this?
Mine was a brand new transmission, and ended up getting a bad torque converter. The snout of the torque converter wasn't trued, and I took it out for a rip, and for the first time, and within 3 minutes, I welded the pump gears right fast to the inside the transmission, and I learned to myself never buy a cheap torque converter again. So I ordered, you know, basically what I could get in a hurry, the best money you could buy, and put it in there, and it worked flawless. And It just shows, just as simple as I showed Brett my distributor cap. If you'd take a peek at that, you'd never believe the car had even run, but the car ran flawless with a broken cap and the rotor chewed all up and the hole chewed through the cap and the rotor. It's just absolutely amazing that the car just never quit.
That sounds like a Brett Relier trick. I've seen him do that before.
I think the zip ties hold it together, honestly, and that's the truth.
Pete, you've...
It is the truth.
You kind of... For a better term, set the Derby world on its ear when you came out to Topeka with your Rivieras. You know, we've seen you build some pretty mean Chevy wagons. What made you decide to build a Ford to go to Vegas?
He bumped his head.
Well, here's the deal. You know, I run against these damn little Fords all over the country and getting, you know, banged around by them. And I thought, oh, I said, shit. You know, I built one with it, and I looked at that Vegas track. It looked soft. It looked, I said, maybe a light car is the better way to go. So I said, well, you know, everybody loves the way I build and the way I do things and the way how creative I am and everything I do, and it don't matter what car I'm in, I can make them all good. You know, it's just like I said, you give an artist a canvas, no matter what size it is, he's going to make it right. You know, so I wasn't intimidated by any of the old iron that was there. I knew I had a good solid car. I know how to build, and you know, and at the end it was enough to get the job done.
Well, there's only one thing I got to correct in all that what you just said. I don't think the inspectors like everything that you do, but hey, everybody else other than the inspectors like it, so that's good.
Well, you know, and here's a good one. You guys will get a good laugh out of this. You know, we go all the way to Las Vegas, so it's a long ways away from home, so I'm being very conservative on my build, how I build it, how I put it together. We're only given 2 hours to get it fixed, to get a flag. Well, I'm thinking, okay, I got 2 hours. Everything I did that might have to be changed, I can get her done in 2 hours. I set myself right up at that mark, and I says, well, I go through tech. Half the shit I thought I was going to have to change was all right. And I'm like, oh, God.
So you only had two pages.
Maybe I'm underbilled. I had a page and a half. I didn't have three pages. So we sit there, and I go back. I fire up the torch, and 10 minutes, I'm done. I go back. I mean, I watch Corey Roman go up, come back. Chance Smith go up and come back. I don't know if Brett went up or not.
I was on the plane, jerk.
I go up. They hand me a flag, I come back. I'm the first guy on the whole team to get a flag.
Wow.
I'm thinking to myself, wow, this never happens for me, you know. And nope. I busted their balls about it the whole weekend. I says, if you guys weren't such cheaters, you know, you wouldn't have had to make 2-3 trips.
Chris, if you were to guess what kind of car Corey Roman took, what would you think?
Cadillac.
Nope. Buick.
Yeah.
I was shocked. When I was talking to Brett,
I didn't know he was allowed to run anything other
than either did I, because his Buicks are, I mean, his caddies are second to none. But
Corey and Pete didn't. They I'm not saying they told me not to. Well, they politely told me not. Cadillac ain't the car to take.
You can build a Cadillac. What's your offer to?
They just wasn't what they were confident in for the rules. You know what I mean?
Did you have the urge to build a Grand Fury?
You know, I thought about building a Monaco. I thought about it, and Pete says, Pete and Corey, they're like, I don't care what you take. Take whatever you want to take. And I had a Mopar Monaco, and it's clean. And, I mean, I went to Georgia and got it, but I didn't have that much confidence. And,
they're telling you that you can build whatever you want. That's like... It's like Henry Ford saying you can paint it whatever color you want as long as it's black.
I think they just felt sorry.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal with Brett Rallier. I've known Brett, like you said, we've known each other a long time. For some reason or another, I mean, he can go to a derby and don't even have to put hose clamps on his gas line and he'll win it. And me, I wouldn't even be able to get out of my garage door, you know. It wouldn't even start, probably. It'd suck too much air or something. I mean, he could take a Pinto to a damn Imperial Derby and win with it, but he's very lucky. And I busted him a little bit about his build. And at the end of the night, one thing that I told him he should have done, he didn't do. Be honest with you, I think Brett would have won it for us, to be honest with you. I would have went in, he'd have pinned Ty Richards behind me, and it would have been game over. It would have been derby over, you know. But he didn't listen to me on a cross member that I told him he should be using. I know he's got one. He just didn't take the time to go dig around and look. But he told me he did. But half the time you can't believe some of the things he tells you. He's very true to his word, and he's probably one of my quality. I guess I can call him a best friend. You know, I don't know. He's just different, very different, very humble. Yeah, but he's humble. He never takes credit for anything he does. True. He's been very successful in life. He's done things that a lot of people could never imagine doing. You know, he always looks up to me, but a lot of times I look up to him, and he don't take credit where credit's due, you know. And I was impressed halfway through the feature. I'm seeing not Brett Rallier behind the wheel. I'm seeing somebody that just lost their marbles, and he's sending his Cadillac at 40. And I'm thinking to myself, there's something wrong. We got problems.
He did say that. He's like, I see you getting it, and you know, I probably should back down because, you know, but early on, you know, I guess I ran one team derby one other time with Rick Engelhart, and we're talking years ago. And I'm like, you know, I can't steer this car. I physically, it ain't steering, it ain't going where I want. And I'm like, well, I got to take a shot when I can get one. Yeah. And I was just hoping and praying. Once I got it going in the right direction, I give it what I could.
Didn't you and Corey run one of the road rage shows?
No, I was on. I was on a team this year. Yeah, I lasted about 20 seconds. Transmission broke literally, but yeah, I forgot about that. That was, yeah, I was technically.
But you don't have a ton of. I guess where I'm going with that is you don't have a ton of time in terms of team derbies, but you got this group of drivers from the Northeast that perform exceptionally well. Pete's been on that big stage in terms of team atmosphere, Spring Explosion, Blizzard Bash. You've certainly done your share of work, winning out of state, Massachusetts with the Northeast Championships. You've gone to Virginia and won there, the indoor facility in West Virginia years and years ago. You were down there as part of that. You were part of the group that went out to Bash for Cash, and then things back down in terms of the amount of travel you're doing. So now you go out there. What's this do for your confidence? I mean, what's this team going to do now?
Well, if I'm welcome to be back, I'll go with the team wherever. I mean, Smith Metalworks, the quality of things they do, Casey, you know, the product, Corey, Pete, absolutely. If I'm welcome on the team, they want to go to Hawaii, they want to go wherever they want to go, I will do what I can to support. One thing that this did do for me is I would always build, you know, because, you know, the kids live with me and my business and ambition and old age and getting around. You know, I can get down on the floor, but it ain't so easy getting back up. I, like, look for excuses to lay down there, you know. So when I would build, to what I felt would be okay. This is good enough. Mm-hmm. This good enough, it is good enough. I mean, we got lucky and won Vegas, the very first team show ever in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Plaza. And there's nobody that can ever take that away, whether it was luck, whether we deserved it, didn't deserve it, could have won it, should have won it. It's there. Now, my building is going to change. And there will be more, you know, that extra half inch weld or that extra bolt or that extra, you know, the Pete was busting on me about a cross member. I'm like, that cross member will be fine. It's okay. And that cross member hung me up, and we literally talked about it. And he told me to change it not once or twice or three or four or five times. And I did look for one. I ain't saying really how hard I looked for one, but I did look for one. And it's, things will change. It's gonna not if, you know, I talked to Melanie about it a little bit, and I talked to Pete. You know, I wonder at times if I would lax a little bit so I could justify, you know, because when you go to a derby, like when I went to the early Morris, you know, when it's 5-on-1 or whatever, I got beat because they, you know, that's not going to happen no more.
So qualifying bracket next November?
I will go wherever Smith Metalworks wants
Pete,
to go.
Get on this.
No matter what. You know, he calls me the other day. He's like, you know, I'm thinking about going to Florida for that 2-man team. I'm like, what? No. But just the heavy, the build. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. The good weather in February sounds good. But
you have to go find yourself an Imperial.
No Imperials.
Oh, that's right. None of the team clashing.
Yeah.
Right?
No Imperials. So yeah. So now he's going to, you know, I end up, you know, making a deal on a rear end. Now he's like, well, you need a 1-inch cradle, and I'll get that coming for you, and you need this. And you know, we got to get that motor down to Brent Johnson's down the red line, and we got to get that freshened up. And I hear ka-ching. I'm going to be eating soup.
Pete, I just wanted to I wanted to give you some credit, because you say, you know, that Brett's a pretty humble guy, but you've been derbying a long time, and you know, I'd heard a lot about you. You know, we didn't get to meet you till this all started, But I'd always heard about Pete Hansen. Brett had told me stories, and I seen you run once down to Owego, and to see the raw emotion when you got that checkered, and you know what it meant to you, and then to see your interview with you know afterwards, and you know you mentioned your dad. I mean that was all real, and you know there's not a lot of guys out there that just let emotions flow like that, and it was great to see. I mean it showed how much you still enjoy the sport, how much it means to you. I mean that was really great to see. I mean I wanted to give you a compliment on that, and you know like I said it was you know it kind of choked me up a little bit when I was watching it and I was listening to you. It was really awesome to see. I was happy, and I'm kind of selfish. I'm gonna be the first one to admit. I talked to Brett a lot. We didn't start out on the best terms. He came to Waterloo with a cheated car and hit me at 60, but that's beside the point.
That was not cheated.
But, you know, I count Brett as one of my best friends. I know he would do anything for me. We watched Corey Roman run a bunch of times. I enjoy watching him run. And I just wanted you guys to go out there and have a great run because, you know, I wanted to get some recognition for, you know, more guys in the Northeast. And it was just great to see. I mean, from, you know, how everything turned out, and it wasn't an easy run, and to see you guys happy and to see your emotion afterwards, it was just all, it worked out great. I was very happy and very proud of all you guys.
Well, Brian, I thank you. I appreciate that. You know what's crazy about that, and my wife told me after it was all over and we got back and kind of got settled in a little bit, and, you know, I don't know if we ever settled in. I mean, I was there for 8 days and slept maybe 12 hours. That's the truth. I don't know what they do in Vegas, but me and Corey Roman walking out at 6 o'clock in the morning the night before tech and look up and down Fremont Street. They say it never sleeps, and all we see is these machines cleaning the street, and there ain't nobody out there. I'm like, I guess we put Vegas to bed, didn't we, buddy? You know, we partied like rock stars the whole week, you know, and it's like, it didn't matter. Go to bed at 5, up at 6, 7, whatever. Go work on cars. Do it again that night, you know. But, I mean, my biggest thing, you know, my wife said there was a 3 minutes or so before we really turned it up right there at the end. There was the brightest shooting star, she said, that she about ever seen come right over the track. And I couldn't believe when she told me that, you know, after my interview and all that bullshit, you know. And it's, I don't believe in that stuff sometimes, but, boy, somebody had to be looking over me. If you looked at my distributor cap and you asked how that car ever even ran,
he stayed running. He says he don't believe in that stuff, but we were, me, Corey, who else was it? There was four or five of us looking for his dad 10 minutes before the Derby. So he can say what he wants because he keeps his dad earns in a little fish thing.
Oh, no shit.
And he was underneath Corey's car working, and then he got out, and he's like, he couldn't find it. And so he, you know, there's, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So anyway,
yeah, we were looking for him. We found him, you know, and he went to Derby with me, but everybody thinks I'm a little nuts, a little crazy, but I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him.
Very cool.
You know, he taught me a lot in the Derby world and got me where I'm at today. And I mean, he told me I was an idiot for doing what I do today.
Yeah, I heard him say that. But it goes back to whatever, you know, fishing, or not fishing, well, fishing and hunting out west and whatever, you know. I mean, you know, you're led by your father in most scenarios, and some get the chance to have it, some don't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of things like that you don't forget.
Very true.
No.
I had several friends that tell me I was absolutely retarded for going out to Vegas. That's too far. You ain't going to do nothing. You're a waste of time. You know what I mean? And even if we did or didn't, it was an experience that, you know, a lot of people ain't going to be able to enjoy, especially with friends, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, we had a ball, win or lose. I mean, but, you know, all I can say, and to be 100% honest, I was with some of the best people I could ask for when I was in Vegas, from my wife to Brett, Chance, Corey, Davey Chapman, Zach Leese. I mean, God, there's the Wheelers. I mean, the whole group of them. I mean, we all got along like we were best friends forever, and there was no bickering, no fighting, no arguing. And what Casey Smith has done for the team is just unbelievable. I mean, he worked his butt off, working on getting sponsorships and doing, I mean, having welders on the grounds, having I mean, if you were there to see it, it was like he was dad. You know, he took care of everything.
Yeah, he was just at Blizzard Bash week before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have to worry about nothing. I mean, Casey Smith is by far one of the most genuine people I've ever met, and generous. And I mean, he kept us all on track. You know, with pep talks and everything, it was just like a coach, you know, and it was just amazing to listen to the words that come out of his mouth and the things he had said. And, you know, if we started getting down a little bit, he'd pick us right back up. And, you know, it was, you can't ask for a better man right there. I mean, Smith Metalworks, Casey Smith, I mean, his boy Chance, but Casey is one of a kind. You won't find anybody else like him, I promise you.
Not to interrupt you, Pete, but on the way out there, you know, my plane got canceled on Monday, mm-hmm. and then the truck broke down on the way out there, and so Richie ended up getting it rest of the way out there. They got it unloaded, and now I feel like my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. I'm, you know, 2,600 miles away, and Pete is, you know, getting his car ready, partying, signing autographs, rolling the red carpet, whatever he does. And I'm like, you know, so Casey texts me and is like, what do you, you know, I says, Casey, I don't know. I have no idea what to do, you know. So they took it over to an international dealer, Casey and Richie did. And you know, they says, well, we can do it in about 3 weeks. It'll be $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And, well, now, you know, you got the driver, you know, you can't stay there that long.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, you know, all frantic. I mean, my guts are just turning. As a matter of fact, I called. I don't know if I told Pete or not. I think I did. I said, I'm not Tuesday. I'm not even coming. Give somebody the car. I had enough. I've had enough of the plane tickets. I had enough of the stress. And that's the God's honest truth. Tuesday, I was not going, period. And well, then I end up talking to Pete and talking to, you know, whatever. And like, you're getting out here. You're coming out. It's just the way it is. And I'm glad I did. I was glad I was part of it. So then he goes, takes a truck from there, and he takes it to another repair shop. And that repair shop says that they can't get the parts for 2 weeks. So then my shop out here goes, gets the parts, overnights it out there. The moral of the story is Casey did not leave it alone. He played, you know, the part. He chased, he helped, he went out of his way to make sure, because what's going to happen is if there's nobody out there playing the cars to help, mm-hmm. next thing you know, it's going to be Saturday, you can't get parts, the truck can't come home, the driver's got to fly home, you got, you know, $100,000 truck, $150,000 in equipment, nobody to drive it home, truck's not fixed, you know, who wants, you know. So it was very, very, very appreciated, and as Pete said, very valuable team player, you know.
Yeah, he might not be a driver, but I love having him in the corner with us, that's for damn sure. But I mean, I wasn't really worried about Brett, whether he was coming or not. I knew he was coming. He tells bullshit stories all the time. He was coming no matter what. He'd have been there. And, you know, here's a good one for you. This will get him really fired up, you know. So,
oh boy.
He cheats his car. He puts 3/8 hump plates on instead of quarter inch. He tells me I told him to do it. Well, mine had quarter inches, didn't. So, Zach Lease is sitting there with a torch, getting it all prepped. Well, I don't know where Brett is, home, sleeping on the recliner, whatever. You know, we're doing, we got his car all done, flag on it. And then, you know, we picked on him a little bit. We called him Little Todd. Little Todd say, open. Don't worry, Todd. We got her all done before you
made
that
all weekend.
It's all good, Todd, you know. And we were busting him hard, you know. And I think he wanted to leave us again. A couple times he was ready to leave us.
Todd's a good shit. He's always treated me with a respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really highly respect him. Mm-hmm. But the way they were telling me that, you know, I just, you know, hiring people to do this and that, I says, I says, I'm leaving them sons of bitches alone for a little bit. I'm taking off going to eat.
You know, mainly before we lose you or anything happens or whatever, I mean, I just got to, you know, Logan May, he was by my side. He didn't have to be. You know, I was kind of a dick through the summer. He was building cars in my shop and stuff, and I didn't really help him much, and my kid the same way. And, you know, when it come right down to it, I started building my Vegas car. Logan works for me. Well, Logan works for me, and the next thing I know, he's side-by-side every night, you know. And at the end of the build, I says to him, I said, you going to Vegas? Nah. He wouldn't fly, so I says to him, I says, well, here's an extra $1,000 just for helping me and shit. I never asked him. He never asked me for anything. I said, here's $1,000. You can do whatever you want. You can go to Vegas. You can ride with a truck driver. I said, you can fix the transmission in your Suburban. I don't really don't care, but I'd like to have you there because you know my car. And he went out, and he was the same thing, another great help. I mean, I can't take nothing. He's a young kid. If he listens to me a little bit better, I think he'll be a top contender if I can get him out of the compact.
Poor kid was sitting on his phone. Pete was going to grab a hold of it and smash his own phone. Just so he couldn't.
I didn't care if it cost me $1,400. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. We start working on cars, and I look over in the corner. Here's Logan on his phone. We're out in Vegas. We got fixture plates to put on. We got all kinds of shit to do. I said, what the hell kind of, what, you got another woman on the line? Well, yeah. I said, where's this one? Where'd you meet this one? On Fremont Street? Was it one of them old skanks down there or what? I mean, come on. Let's go. I come within, I mean, I was getting mad because I was starting to go and I was working. I was doing all kinds of shit. Zach Lease was welding fixing plates. I was doing this. I was prepping them. And here's Slogan on his phone. I'm like, one more minute, I see him on his phone. I'm going up there. I don't care if it's $1,400 new iPhone, blah, blah, blah. I'm smashing it. When I get home, I buy him another one. I don't care. But at least I would get him away from his phone. Sure. I mean, the kids today, that's the only thing that drives me nuts. He's 22 years old, and he spends more time on his phone than he needs to worry about life, you know, and everything that's going on.
With the money his boss has, I'd be on the phone all day, too.
No doubt.
Well, the other day, my wife left my 3-year-old with us up in the garage, and I told him, I said, you're playing board games with her. Why, I got stuff to do here. He goes, really? I said, yeah, just shut up and do it. You're getting paid. So he's playing some kind of princess board game on the floor in the shop with her.
That's terrific.
We got to get out of here because Finger Lakes 1 has more programming stuff that's coming up, and we've got to get this thing turned around in about a half hour. So I hate to cut you off, but Brett Brand, congratulations on an outstanding run out there. Glad everything went well. Congratulations to you, Pete, on being part of that team with Smith Metalworks, Corey Roman out there. I think I called him Chase earlier, Chance Smith. And so I apologize for if I butchered your name. I'm sure I've done it before as well. But congratulations to you guys. It was a good show tonight, man. 298 in the books. We covered a lot of ground tonight. But we got to get out of here. So that's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. We appreciate everybody tuning in and watching with us. We will see everybody next time.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Pete.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.